Welcome to the Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and spend a few moments with us as we share some music and dialogue with you.
Our God sees all sides of who I am.
All right. I apologize for the slight delay in transmitting. We, of course, are transmitting again from the hospital, and I don't have a lot of options as far as what connections, you know, and Wi-Fi and hospitals are like cats and dogs. So this morning, Ryan and I are going to move through the Easter season, and we're going to pick up some of what we started before Easter, which was basically issues around open and affirming. So I just want to let you know a little bit that you know, because I'm doing from the hospital and stuff, there may be some slight quiet interruptions, but you know, nurses and doctors have their job to do too. So Ryan, are you ready to start your part?
I'm ready to start my part.
Ryan's ready.
I'm ready, so we're gonna go. But before I start, I would like to encourage all of you who are prayers to continue to pray for Judy and her family and all those people that are taking care of her. Part of what we value about the opportunity to speak to you and to do this program is to build community. And this is a way for you to connect with us and for us to connect with you. So for those of you who are prayers, please continue to pray for Judy.
Thank you.
So I think it's important for us to really talk about things that matter to us and things that are happening in our lives. And since we were with you last, I've been very much thinking about open and affirming as it relates to the Methodist Church. There's a bishop who's currently serving the United Methodist Church, who is the first and only out lesbian serving in the Methodist Church as a bishop. And she had a trial recently. And so that's very much on my mind and on the minds of most of my friends in this area as the Methodist Church continues to struggle with the role and the relationship that gays and lesbians and bisexual and transgender people have within their congregations and within their denomination. And so they had this trial with the bishop. And what happened is a mixed bag, and I don't want to get into all the minutiae of the Methodist law and all of that because I don't think it's important. But what was at stake was that this bishop could possibly lose her job for the sole reason being that she's a lesbian and that she's married to her partner of 17 years. And that alone, in some people's eyes, should disqualify her not just from being a bishop, but from being ordained clergy as well. So that trial happened, and that's been a very big deal to me here. As a seminarian at a Methodist college, it's been something that we've been talking about, and she preached at our chapel service recently too during this time. And so it's interesting to me that people who don't know the bishop will have a strong opinion on her validity and her authority based solely on her sexual orientation. So they had this trial and it was a mixed bag. they decided that because she's a lesbian, she's in violation of the Book of Discipline that the Methodists had, which states that homosexuality is not compatible with Christian moral values. Therefore, gays and lesbians should not be married, and any Methodist bishop who does marry a gay and lesbian couple gets in trouble, and you can't be ordained to be gay or lesbian, nor should you therefore be a bishop. So the ruling came out of, well, she's your bishop and you elected her and you have the right to do that, but you're in violation of the Book of Discipline and you can't do that. So there's going to be another trial and probably another one after that. And I expect by the end of these two trials in the next 2 or 3 years that the Methodist Church will split over this issue. But in the meantime, what's happening is all of this discussion around what is the value of gay and lesbians within our congregations, and can you be a Christian and be gay? And people in my circles and in my seminary will say, yes, absolutely. That's very compatible with Christian values. And we're going to get into the ramifications of it more later in the program, so I don't want to get off topic and go into it now. But this is an important discussion that I think we need to continue to have, not just around homosexuality, but around larger issues of inclusion and authenticity and those kind of things. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So we're now going to turn it over to Reverend Judy. Are we playing a song?
Oh, really? Okay. We're going to do a song, another song from Carol Simpson. It's a song based on 1 Corinthians 13. Beautiful song. Let's take a listen.
Though I may speak with bravest heart and have a gift to all inspire,
Carol Simpson, my dear friend, who I lost this last year to multiple sclerosis. But what a voice, what a talent. Anyway, I'm going to move on and first of all explain, I chose to talk about my home church, Life's Journey United Church of Christ, because it does set up a great example of open and affirming church, a church that walks the talk. And we're going to hear that from somebody here shortly. I did an interview with one of its members early on, and then we switched modes into Easter, and we're going to come back. Now, what you're going to hear is the first half of an interview with Judy Foxworth, one of our members. So if it sounds like it ends abruptly, it's because we never got part two done yet. We're so busy doing the work. I don't know. Mr. Engineer, do you have Judy Foxworth? All right, so we're here with Judy Foxworth, and we're just going to kind of go back and forth with some questions and get an idea of what it's like to belong to an open and affirming church. So, hello, Judy.
Hello.
And what's your, let's ask for history and who you are and that kind of stuff.
Well, my name is Judy, and I have been a member at Life's Journey United Church of Christ since 2011. We moved to from the eastern part of the Alamance County, and we moved over to towards more Elon, and we wanted a church. We intended a church actually all the way in Chapel Hill, that was an open and affirming church. And we looked around and wanted to find something closer, that it was just impractical to be involved in a church family when we lived in Elon and in Chapel Hill. So we looked around and we found a church that was just forming, and it's Life's Journey. We visited one of the churches before, and it was the first church where it was not, there were no eyebrows raised when I said, hello, this is, you know, who I am, and this is my partner, and this is our daughter. We had visited many churches before, and, you know, there was always, you could tell, there's a vibe in the room, a feeling, when people would raise eyebrows, like, oh, okay. But at Life's Journey, there were old and young alike, just came up and welcomed us with open arms, and it felt like home, mm-hmm. and we stayed.
Yes, kind of like our story. They haven't kicked us out yet, so we're still here. So what's your history with the church, and, you know, what ministries do you have?
Okay. Well, I grew up in a church. I'm a recovering Baptist. So every time the doors were open, we were there. So I understood that feeling of family, and, you know, we are a smaller congregation. That's the church kind of family that I grew up in. And I wanted my child to have that feeling of knowing that there was a safe space and a safe group no matter what. Yeah. And so I gravitated towards the children ministries, and I'm a college professor. I teach, you know, adults, but I try to use that education background in teaching the youth. And, you know, in the beginning it was the younger kids, and now as my child's getting older, it's turned more into youth. Mm-hmm. But that's where my ministries lie,
mm-hmm. and a good place for them to lie. Our children's ministry is growing.
Yes, it is.
As we grow, and that's so important, because a lot of families that come, the first thing they want is to know that you can take care of their kids. You
know? That's exactly right.
So I cannot read my own notes. So who gives you the most positive impression of what a good Christian is?
I think it's not just one single person. Many people we see, I think I'd rather talk about characteristics versus okay. one person. And we have a lot of these people that display these characteristics, like always willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to serve. Doesn't really matter, you know, if it needs to be done, you jump in and do it, no matter what it's for.
Right.
Like, you know, whatever that, if it's to help with a backpack program, or if it's to get the stew hut ready, you know, it's that willingness to jump in and to help anybody. And more of a walk the walk versus talk the talk. And I think we have a lot of that here. We have a lot of people that demonstrate that walk, that not just open and affirming when they're here amongst these walls, but are like that in their daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it sends a good message to your child also.
Yes.
Okay, and That ended a little abruptly, because the idea was to feed into part two. And basically, the storyline, or the idea, is to get people to understand that church is more than coming in, sitting down, throwing a dollar in the plate, and leaving. You know, church can be a wonderful community if you and the church are fit together right. At open and affirming churches, which there's about 2,600 of the 5,200 churches in the denomination. It's it is the walk the talk. It is the, you know, all those things and more. You know, and how could it be more? Well, you know, it's what the church makes it more. Our church is never ending in finding ways to expand our ministries. So anyway, thank you, Judy. I know that ended abruptly, but I'll try not to end part two abruptly. How's that? So the idea with open and affirming, it started actually, here's the neat thing. When I got involved with the opening open and affirming coalition, I had no idea that this concept or program was authorized by the Synod of the United Church of Christ 1985, we said, we're stepping out, and we're going to be different than everybody, and we know that. Everything we do is different, and we're going to start, you know, having a program where gays and lesbians and bisexuals and so on and so forth, cats and dogs, everybody is welcome. And it's been very successful based on the congregation. Because the United Church of Christ, as a an ordering type of program, can make the program legal, shall we say. But it's the church that makes it so amazing. And like Judy, you know, I'm much loved by my church. And it's been hard on my church members to see me for 2 months now in and out of the hospital. But you know what? It encourages me when I get a card in the mail from a friend at church. Or, you know, Irene goes to a church meeting and everyone asks how I am. And that gives me strength to, you know, to go through what I am going through. So, I want you to take the words that Judy said and really think about them. If you don't have a church, if you're confused about church, think about the possibilities of whether you're straight or gay, you know, it doesn't matter, of finding an open and affirming church, United Church of Christ. So you got, just go to their main website. And if you're in the Burlington, North Carolina area, then come and visit us. You know, we'd love to have you. The purpose of this ministry is to get people back into a sense of community who have been hurt, neglected, whatever the reason is that they've turned themselves off from church. Right, Brian?
That is right. It's not, I mean, open and affirming isn't just about bringing in gays and lesbians and transgendered and other sexual minorities. The reason why so many of them thrive in metropolitan areas is because they're not judgmental and they accept everybody. And that's really what open and affirming is about, is really being radical in our Christian love and our acceptance of others. It's not just about accepting gay people. It's about accepting everybody. And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and, you know, there's the old saying, Judy referred to it as, you know, walk the talk. You know, you can go to a church that talks the principles of open and affirming, and, oh, we did this last week, and we fed 50 people, you know. Or you can find a church that you, and there's no criterion. Your criterion is the criterion that you need to have to find a church home. It's the community. And I know a lot of people say, I don't need church. You know, they're nothing but a bunch of whistleblowers and, you know, people that just want to pretend. And there are some real, real Christians out there. And the communion of the people involved is so strong. And I can't tell you enough about being sick for as long as I've been and the strength that has come from the congregation that I belong to. Just knowing that they're praying for me, you know, just hearing from Robin Blackwell, you know, I was praying for you. Hearing from all my friends, even if it's only a 5-second phone call, what a blessing. So, Brian, I'm going to give you a second because I'm going to send a message to Doug.
Okay.
And see what you can do.
It really, being loved by people is a beautiful thing. And I totally understand what Judy's talking about, because I've been a member of a church that wasn't open and affirming, and they were adamant that they loved everybody, and it didn't matter how much I told them that they really didn't, because I had to be somebody else to be a full member of their congregation. And they didn't understand that. So I understand the importance of being fully accepted for who you are as a gay person. But at the same time, it's important to remember that it's not just about gay people. When you accept a gay couple into your church, then you're saying everybody's welcome. These people are accepted, but so are other people. And that allows people to be very authentic in a way that they can't always be. And that's a really beautiful thing, to be able to reach so many marginalized people who have not been accepted in a church. Being open and affirming isn't just about gays and lesbians. It's about accepting people that are recovering alcoholics or people that have other addictions. And it's really about accepting people for who they are and where they're at, which is a Christian value that churches often miss.
Do they miss it ever?
Preach it, Judy. Preach it.
Oh, yeah. I've gone through my share of churches, just like Judy has, of churches that, you know, want to say, oh, come to our church. We're so, you know, we want to help you. We know you're having a hard time. And you get inside their doors and it's like the jaws of life have closed on you. And the minute you walk in the door, it's about money. Oh, we got to collect money for this. Oh, there's not enough money in the...
Other things too, Joey. Let me tell you a story. So I had been not a member of a church ever, and I had, when I was growing up, considered God my enemy, and I did not like God, and we had a very bad relationship. But around the time I reached 30, I thought it might be nice to make peace with God. So I reached out to a friend of mine, a colleague at work, and she talked about being a Baptist, but she was very good. She was really good about me, and I could talk about stuff that was going on in my life, and I could be myself with her. So I thought I was safe. And so I assumed that she wasn't a member of one of those churches. And so she invited me to her Baptist church, and I didn't go the first Sunday that she invited me because I chickened out. So I saw her on Monday, and she said, my friends were so disappointed to not see you. They were really looking forward to helping you in your conversion. And I heard that language and I said, wait, what are you talking about? And she said, well, all of my friends are gonna come at lunchtime to see you, and they want to talk about how they can help you be straight. And then I and then I lost it, because I knew that that was a church where I was not welcome for myself. I was only welcome if I became somebody else. And that was not going to happen. So those kinds of congregations might say, well, we love everybody, we love gay people, but if you love somebody only if they change, that is not what love is. And so I think we have a lot of Christians talking about love, but they don't understand what it really is. And that, to me, is the problem. And I'm going to go ahead and give out our phone number and open this conversation up to all the rest of you. If you're interested in joining our conversation, you can reach us at 888-627-6008.
Yes, I'd love to answer some questions. We don't get too many callers because, I guess, because we've been on the air for 3 years now. And 3 years, that's 3.5 years, actually. And, you know, the biggest reason why I, you know, began the Journey 8 was for a simple short-term project for Lent. And after that project was done, it was just amazing how many people asked me to do a project on this and a project on that. And, I mean, it was it had its own snowball effect. And when you're drawn to a calling by God, whether it's children's ministry, planting flowers, as some of our members did today, or I think it was today or Saturday, just, you know, whatever, sweeping floors, these things are what you feel you're called to do, not what somebody else feels you're called to do.
That's right.
And you might look at it and say, well, I'm just sweeping floors and cleaning off the tables in the family room. And it's like, that's okay. It's all stuff that has to be done. Like Judy said, the best thing about our congregation is it doesn't matter if you're on the council, if you're a deacon, if you're the pastor. If something needs to be done, we roll up our sleeves and we do it. No one is too good not to do something.
And that kind of ties into the open and affirming. It's not just doing what needs to be done. It's helping who needs to be helped when they come to you for help.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times Christians think, oh, well, I'm doing the work of the church. I'm sweeping the floors and I'm tithing, so I don't need to help God's people. I just need to help my church. And I think I have a problem with that. I agree with you that everybody should do what they're called to do, but I think sometimes we fall into what's easy instead of doing what we're called to do. And that's what I invite people to discern about, because we often do what's easy at the expense of the people that need help, that are calling for us.
Well, like our church, it's not a big church. We're less than 100 members. But we have such great outreaches, backpack program, and, you know, brown bags, all these really neat things. So I'm going to take a break because I've got some medicine I have to take. And we're going to play a song that Ryan brought. Called Not. Right? We haven't played that one yet. And Mr. Engineer, whenever you'd like to take us into that.
You are welcome at my table. You are welcome in my home. You are free to share your body on my pillow.
That Was Not, written by Mindy Dillard and performed by Mindy Dillard and Eric McEwen. That's really generally a song you hear at church for communion, but I thought it appropriate for today to end on a more positive note. In a lot of progressive churches, you aren't alone, and everybody's welcome at the table. And that is what is beautiful about my tradition and the tradition that Judy and I share, that everybody is welcome. And I think that that changes people in the way they interact with each other when they are in church and when they're out in the world, because when people receive that kind of love and respect and equality, then it's easy to give it in return to others. And that's why I think this whole discussion about open and affirming is so important for the church, because Jesus didn't exclude people. And I think that when the church does that, they're working outside of the tradition. And I think that the younger generation who's calling for everybody to be accepted in congregations really recognizes that that's a Christian value that we've lost, and we need to get it back. And so that's why open and affirming is important. It's not just for gay people, though that certainly in and of itself is important. But it's also important to say that all people of a congregation or any kind of group, everybody has worth and everybody has value.
Right, and that extends to the richest person that might be walking in with a really cool suit to someone who just came from a shelter, you know? And we have those sometimes. And I will tell you, my first experience at Life's Journey was a friend of mine who still goes there. And we came, myself and my partner and a couple other people, to investigate this church we'd heard about. And the first person who came, not walking down the aisle, but briskly walking down the aisle at the church, was this lady who was as short as me. And we just got hugs. And, how are you? And welcome. And please come back next week. And, you know, we really love having you. And it was sincere. It wasn't something scripted, you know. And like Judy Foxworth said, it really is a walk the talk. And I don't know about you, but I love it. I love it. I love it. And we might end up a little short tonight because my throat is giving out, and I have a bunch of other junk they have to do. You know, in the hospital, they just make up tests just to have something to do with you. So, Ryan, you got any closing words?
I do. I think that it's important when we're having discussions around open and affirming that we're not talking about it being in response to one group of people. It's about caring for and loving people in a radical way that is deeply rooted in scripture and deeply rooted in our tradition and deeply rooted in the life and the messages of Jesus. And so I don't think it should be seen in political terms, which is often what it's reduced to. I think that we should see it in terms of authenticity, that when you allow one person to be truly themselves and to be loved and honored in that space for it, then you're allowing other marginalized people to be loved for themselves as well. And that's a truly empowering and beautifully compassionate thing. So that's really what I hope that you get out of our discussion tonight, is that all people are deserving of love. All people at one point or another feel marginalized, and we all feel invisible. And the point is to find a church where you don't have to be invisible to be accepted. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, and next show, which is on May something or another.
The 22nd.
Yes, I'm the host of this show, but I don't know a thing. We're going to continue with the concept of churches that worship in unique ways. So I say good night and God bless you, and God keep you in his arms forever.
Good night, and thank you for joining our online family.
Thank you so much for spending time with us this evening. Please come back again. And remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Reverend Judy Hosner.